Hello and thanks for joining us. This is your Bible study program, Search for Truth, with Bible teacher Brian Johnston. Thanks for joining me, and it's really special to have you with us today. We really do appreciate your company. Now, in this series of studies, Brian's seeking encouragement and help in our Christian living. He's doing it by reviewing some stories about Old Testament kings. So far, we've looked at Israel's first king, namely King Saul. Today, we're going to consider some verses which describe another Israelite king, a king about whom we find only a very short account in the second book of Chronicles, a king who sets a great example, which we do well to imitate. Well, can you make a guess as to his identity? Any ideas? Well, if you haven't already guessed, here's Brian to tell us.
Thanks, John. The question we'd like to search the Old Testament for help on in this study is, how can I live an unblemished life? Or how can I be blameless before the Lord at his coming judgment seat? By God's grace, we are assured of eternal salvation through faith in Jesus as our personal Saviour. But the Apostle John did write about the solemn possibility of our being ashamed before the Lord when we meet him due to not having lived the Christian life well. How may we avoid this? Well, here's another question, if I may be so bold. It takes us back to the Old Testament, and it's purely factual. If I were to ask you, which of the kings of Judah has no fault laid to his charge in the Bible, would you immediately respond and say, Jotham? If you did, let me confess at once that you're ahead of me there. I read about his life again recently and registered the fact, more clearly than I can recall doing so before, that his life was without blemish as recorded in God's word. Yes, the so-called high places weren't removed, and God did bring about enemy invasions, and yet no personal criticism that I could find was levelled at King Jotham personally. When you think of some of the other more illustrious names, this is quite remarkable. This is of interest to us because we all have an eye on the judgment seat of Christ, I'm sure, and so would want to learn from Jotham. One thing it says of him is this, that he ordered his ways before God, 2 Chronicles 27 verse 6. I assume that means that he must have lived his life consciously and carefully before God from day to day. Also, immediately before we are told this, and so possibly very relevant to it, we are told that he repaired the gate between his house and God's house. Check out 2 Chronicles 23 verse 20. So nearness to God and familiarity with God's house, that sounds like a recipe for a life well lived, doesn't it? This was written for our encouragement, Romans 15 and verse 4 tells us, and after we study the secret of Jotham's life, I'd like us to come back to revisit our original question. The Bible tells us then that King Jotham became mighty. This is clear from the fact that he built towers and fortified cities and conquered his enemies. He also embarked on an expansive building program as well as successful military operations. What's really of interest, however, is how he was able to achieve this. The same secret of his success can, in principle, be applied in our lives also. Jotham's success was because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. He ordered or directed or guided his ways according to the word and will of God. Not much is written about King Jotham in the second book of Chronicles, so it's worth reading it all. Jotham was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. He did right in the sight of the Lord. He built the upper gate of the house of the Lord. Moreover, he built cities in the hill country of Judah, and he built fortresses and towers on the wooded hills. He fought also with the king of the Ammonites and prevailed over them. So Jotham became mighty because he ordered his ways before the Lord his God. 2 Chronicles 27, 1-6. That last part is the precious gem we've already singled out. He ordered his ways before the Lord. It's a vital lesson that we can take away from the life of this man, a man who attained to greater power because, and another way of putting it is this, he made his ways firm before the Lord. It seems the idea is that he prepared his ways in God's presence. Little wonder then that unlike the kings that were before him, he didn't become guilty by falling away into idolatry. As far as the Bible record shows, his personal life was without major fault, except that we might possibly conclude that he wasn't a brilliant leader because we're told that the people continued to act corruptly. For Jotham didn't go so far as to remove the so-called high places where idolatry was practiced. But there's no mention of Jotham himself being involved in idolatry. By ordering his steps before the Lord, he made his ways firm so that his feet didn't slip into wrong ways. With Jotham's example in mind, we might make our ambition the same as that expressed in the hymn, "May our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace." Ordered lives, just like Jotham, the king who ordered his ways before God. But what does it really mean in practice? The book of Proverbs shares its wisdom with us here. In the early verses of chapter 16, Jotham's word surfaces twice in the sense of established and directed. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Proverbs 16, 3-9. This seems to expand helpfully on the process for us. Our part, and we assume it was the same in Jotham's experience, our part is to commit our plans prayerfully in advance to the Lord and allow him to establish proper thinking in us, by means of which our steps, that is our course of action, can be directed in a way that pleases the Lord. It's an ordered life that pleases God, not a muddle, not a life ordered to suit ourselves as far as acquiring wealth and prestige or seeking pleasure is concerned, but ordered before the Lord, by prayer and by the Word of God. Obviously, reading the Bible and absorbing God's values plays a big part in this. Using again the same word that was the key to Jotham's success, the psalmist prays in Psalm 119, that great psalm which extols God's word. The psalmist said, "Order or direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me." It's verse 133. So we were right to assume that the study of God's word, the Bible, as applied to our daily lives, was at the heart of Jotham's secret. John Bunyan got it right when he said, "Either this book," meaning the Bible, "either this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book." The psalmist was determined the book would keep him from sin, and so he ordered every step of his life according to what he read in God's word. That's a terrific example, but let's remember, knowledge of the Bible won't benefit us unless we begin to apply it. The story is told, you know, of four men arguing over what was the best translation of the Bible. The first man liked the King James Version because of its beautiful, eloquent language. Another insisted that the American Standard Bible was best because of its accuracy to the original text. A third preferred Moffat for its quaint, penetrating words and captivating phrases. After considering the issue, the fourth man said, "Personally, I've always preferred my mother's translation." Tolerating the other's chuckles, he continued, "Yes, she translated it. She translated each page of the Bible into life. It's the most convincing translation I ever saw." The outcome of Bible reading that's life-orientated will be lives that are ordered according to God's word and will, ordered in personal integrity, as well as ordered in family and home life, in church life, in business, and in all our decisions generally. In that sense, we can do as the old hymn says, "And leave to thy God to order and provide." It seems so simple that we may often forget it or lose sight of it. It's simple, but it was the great secret of Jotham's life. It's the one feature of his entire life that stands out as endorsed by God for each of our lives too. Many books have been written about how to be successful in life, how to be a winner. But this one verse, this single idea about ordering our ways before God, is all we really need to know. Doing this may not make us a winner in worldly terms, but it's what we are in God's book that counts, and this truly is the secret. Jotham is the only king, as we said before, the only king against whom no personal criticism is made. He ordered his ways before the Lord. He repaired the link between his house and God's house by repairing the upper gate. There does seem that there could be a relationship between these two facts we're given about Jotham. And all this gives us food for thought in terms of how we can be blameless before God at the judgment seat of Christ, when the Lord will review and assess our lives of Christian service. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28 says, "Remain in him," that's in Christ, of course, "so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not draw back from him in shame at his coming." To avoid shame, and instead to experience praise, glory, and honour before him at his coming, perhaps we could do no better than to put into practice the secret Jotham discovered, ordering our lives day to day by prayer and Bible meditation while checking out our familiarity with the Bible's teaching about God's house.
I hope you enjoyed today's study and found it interesting and helpful. I remind you, as usual, there's a transcript book of all the talks in this series, and you can obtain a copy by downloading it at churchesofgod.info/media. Otherwise, you can write to us and ask for a hard copy book be posted to you. Just mention the title, Present Help from Past Writings. And don't forget, you must include your postal address so we know where to send it. Now, you can use email or the post, and here's our address. Search for Truth, Hayes Press, The Barn, Flaxlands, Royal Wootton Bassett, Swindon, SN4 8DY, UK. Our email address is sft@churchesofgod.info. Anyway, before we close with our hymn, I'd like to say how much I've enjoyed your company today. So many thanks for giving us your time. I hope you can join me again next week, when Brian will be looking at marriage guidance advice via a study of King David. But now it's goodbye and very best wishes from our Bible teacher, Brian, our producer, David, our singers, and me, John. So see you again soon. And in the meantime, mind how you go. And we wish you God's richest blessings. Change and change.